Welcome to Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down with a comic, talk about it in depth, and see whether you should pick it up or not.
A comic?
Yes. I'm Stephen Schleicher. You can follow me on Twitter at Major Spoilers. Over there is Matt. You can follow him at Mighty King Cobra. This week we are reviewing a comic book from Action Lab Entertainment called Itty Bitty Bunnies in Rainbow Pixie Candyland. This is by Dean, how do you say his last name? Rankine?
Rankine, I'd say.
First of all, a little bit of mature reader's tag on this. It's all over the place. And they tell you right in there. I mean, this is a book that contains stuff that, this book contains foul-mouthed, butt-naked, meth-cooking bunnies. Stay alert. You think that's a joke?
No, that's all legitimately, literally in the issue.
Let me tell you how the story goes. So there's two bunnies that apparently walk around naked because you see their wieners hanging out. They are, at the night before Christmas, they're up at the North Pole getting Santa high on cocaine or something, and he's overdosed, and he's going to die, and the only thing that Tyrone can do is to assist Santa in this emergency situation and to shove this syringe full of adrenaline straight into his heart. Yes, very much Pulp Fiction. Until they try to poke Santa and he explodes.
Which is just...
And then, the next morning, in order to save Christmas and make sure that all the kids have presents, they have to earn money so they can buy all the presents that they need. And what better way to earn money than to sell meth?
Well, you know, if Heisenberg taught us anything, it's that the answer to everything is sell meth.
Sell more
what
meth.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do to make money? Sell meth. How are we going to save our family? Sell meth. How many roads must a man walk down?
Sell more meth.
Sell meth. Yeah.
So what this book ends up being is a bunch of little vignettes of these guys doing drugs, trying to sell drugs to children, getting into a turf war with the Care Bears.
No, they are not Care Bears, my friend.
What are they?
They clearly say, we are not bears who care. By the way, they are racist caricature Care Bears.
Yes.
Their accents are extremely offensive.
Yes. There is a transforming section where they shove their body parts into other animal body parts to turn into Buntron.
Buntron, yes.
And in the end, they meet Andre the Giant and
in heaven,
and then crash in Egypt and Merry Christmas, one and all.
Yeah.
This is all your fault. I said,
you know what?
This book was going to be awful.
I will take the hit on this one. This was a bad decision.
Okay, so I will say this. There are a few times that I laughed. The Andre the Giant bit I thought was very funny.
Yeah, it's definitely a stream of consciousness story. I mean, this is something where I think, I think that he sat down and started drawing, and when things occurred to him, those things happened.
This is like an ongoing series of stuff.
Yes, and I think that it's an ongoing series of Finnegan's Wake like, kind of crazy.
This is like
antics.
This is like Beavis and Butthead meets Rabbids meets Breaking Bad,
The
Happy Tree. Yes, Happy Tree Friends. There you go.
There's a lot of that in there.
And throw in very inappropriate humor.
Oh yes, seriously inappropriate humor. I gotta say, I like dark, inappropriate humor.
To a point.
This last week, I accidentally spent money on Weapon Brown, which is basically post-apocalyptic cyborg Charlie Brown, full of the same sort of stuff. And I really like that book.
Mm-hmm.
This one, there are two things going on here that sort of disconnect for me. I'm perfectly fine. I'm down with if your intention is, let's go ahead and make some really inappropriate jokes.
Yes.
Let's go ahead and just be horrible and disgusting and terrible because, you know, when Joan Rivers passed away recently, somebody posted something on the Twitter. It may have been Patton Oswalt. And he said, the reason I miss Joan is because she would not hesitate to make an inappropriate joke about her own death.
Right.
I'm fine with that. I really think that you can work with that. And you can take, you can kind of deflate the all ages storytelling. You know, you can say, oh, well, the My Little Pony is ridiculous and silly, or, you know, whatever it is that's aimed at the kids these days, if in fact these things are aimed at kids, and give it an adult take. You get your Ren and Stimpy. There's,
yeah, you know, I don't have a problem with any of that adult take stuff. I just think that this may be
gross out humor.
Yeah.
In this issue.
Yes, there is that.
But I think what it really comes down to is Ren and Stimpy gross out humor was one of the things that you got with Ren and Stimpy. You got the gross out humor, and you got the weird referential humor, and you got the strange, you know, relationship stuff, the weird interpersonal thing where they really do like each other, or they're on the other side of the black hole and they decide that the only way to keep from dying is to implode.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, wait, there's a bus coming, and then they die.
Yeah.
You can do that and have the story flow in a way that feels like a story has meaning and consequences.
I'm gonna put an explicit tag on here on this episode, because I'm gonna read you a panel, one panel from this comic. This is immediately after they've exploded Santa Claus. Holy shitballs, Phil! There's bits of Santa everywhere. Santa arms, Santa legs, Santa sack. Sack.
You ever watch Archer?
No, I don't. I've watched a couple of episodes, but it's not something that I make a regular habit of.
Archer has an entire season arc where the joke is they're trying and failing to sell cocaine.
Yeah.
Before Pam uses up all the cocaine.
Ah.
And it is dark and it's inappropriate. And it's, you know, it's equivalent in terms of the humor. The cocaine jokes here and the cocaine jokes there are a similar level, but there's, I don't know, there's other stuff going on, a context to it that makes the story feel like it's worth that detour. It's worth that, you know, going down that weird dark alley with the show. You get to the end of the season and it feels like you did something and you got somewhere. And I think that this has the problem of, well, a lot of comics specifically, but serialized fiction is you get to the end and this is, you know, kind of a one shot. Even if next issue picks up with more attempts to save Christmas, next issue is probably not going to be directly related to what happened here. It's just going to be more variations.
I think it's an Easter issue is what it looks like. That's what it looks like.
The Rainbow Pixie Candyland.
Yeah, but the fact that it's a giant, who knows? I don't know. If you like humor that is... I mean, I like dick and fart jokes. Don't get me wrong. I think dick and fart jokes are funny. And
you don't hear it on the shows, but he does.
No, I think there's humor in it, but I think there's a difference. So, you know, we can be sitting in a room having a serious conversation and someone rips one off, and that's funny, right? See? See?
But I'm just thinking about the time that happened.
But the difference is, and this is where you take it too far, where you're having a serious conversation and suddenly someone gets up and pulls down their pants and shoves their butt right in your face and rips one off. And then there's fecal matter on the person's face.
Ew!
See,
why would you do that?
Because that's what this comic book does. It takes something that's funny and then goes too far with it.
I would agree. I think as an audience, especially with We're the Audience.
I don't think we're the audience. I know I'm not the audience for this.
I think the audience may be young men and women who are at that point where farts are still funny, but they're also at a point where, you know, you have that expectation that, for instance, a dead baby joke could be funny.
Yeah.
There comes a point where you look at that and for whatever reason, you look at that and that's no longer something that seems like particularly, you know, high humor. Mm-hmm. I like bits and pieces of this, and there are little chunks of the interaction. Yeah,
there are some
between
really,
the two bunnies.
Yes, there are some interesting chunks. Like I said, there's funny bits, but it's just taken to the extreme and too far to where it doesn't become funny. It becomes gross out.
Right. And there's no real through line of story.
No.
It's basically just dun-dun-dun-dun. In some ways, it's almost like a panel comic.
Yes.
Where, you know, a strip a day like The Far Side, except it has a slight attempt to carry it over.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if we don't read comics that we've never read before, we'll never know whether or not we would have liked them. And if we read a comic that I don't think either of us particularly connected with, you know, that the Care Bears burning out the bunny's eyes, I have to admit, with horrible Latin accents. Yeah, really, really terrible to the point where it makes the searchers look...
Now, again, if this is your thing, if you like the gross-out humor, then I think you might like this. And I'm just being honest here. I can't draw super great, okay? But from what I point of view, and when we do reviews, we talk about what does this book do for me? What is my reaction to it? And hopefully our reaction helps inform you as to whether you want to pick up this book or not. I just looked at the cover of this and knew it was not a book for me because I'm not a fan of this kind of art style. And this kind of art style, as Matthew's kind of already referenced, is a little bit of, what was it, Bunnies from Hell or whatever it was that
Matt Groening did.
It looks very much like Ed and Eddie kind of art style. And that is just not an art style that I care for.
Extreme grotesquery. I mean, there's bits of this that remind me of Rocco's Modern Life, which was actually
a little bit. And that was well done. Yeah, but then, I don't know. I guess my final thought on this book is if you like seeing a horse dig a magic bean out of its ass in graphic detail, then this is the book that you want to read. Now, you think I'm joking. I am not.
No, he's not. And that's the thing. A lot of the things that we could say about this issue that are problematic would sound like we are making up extreme examples. It is not the case. The last panel has two characters laughing as they eat a third character's legs.
Yes.
For reasons which remain somewhat unclear.
Only to get the Tiny Tim gag in there.
The Tiny Tim gag. And, you know, at some point they ended up. Did they travel in time?
No. Okay, they're just stereotyping.
Okay. So, yeah. It's something. I think we've all read. I think we've written these terrible stories where terrible things happen, terrible people.
Yes.
And the fun is seeing how far you can go beyond the level of taste.
Yeah.
For me, I will say this. I went looking for it before I realized we had the review copy.
Oh, yeah. I sent it to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad that we had the review copy because this is going to sound terrible. Having read this, I'm super happy that I didn't pay for it. And I know that sounds terrible, and you know, I don't mean that to sound as condescending as it probably does, but when you read something that's definitely not aimed at you, you know, even if you say this is clearly not me as an audience, and I admit there are things in here that I thought were funny. There are things in here that were way beyond anything I want to read about.
Yeah.
But I've known people who would read this and snort all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
Snort many things.
Yes.
Snorts. But, yes. You know, those gentlemen, those ladies, if you get a hold of this book and you love it, great. Not my bag of
I don't like giving negative reviews on stuff. I kind of feel bad. And, you know, here's somebody, the writer artist has published a comic book. He's published one more comic book than I've published. And, you know, he should be proud of that. And I'm sure that there's an audience for this book. Unfortunately, I am not that audience, but I think Matthew and I have kind of given you, the listener, an idea of what's in this book, what kind of things that you can expect, the art style. And if that sounds like it's something for you, then by all means, go and get it.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. And I mean, Action Lab has a number of these really outre books. I love their Action Philosophers title.
What's the one? The Hooker Zombie?
Zombie Tramp.
Zombie Tramp.
Zombie Tramp. Zombie Tramp is kind of funny. I mean, there are definitely a lot of books where I would go, yeah, okay, I could definitely see this. But when it comes to the violence and the sex and the drugs and the over-the-top gross-out humor, definitely check this out if that's something you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm if just, it's not...
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to... I'm going to give it a pass. That's all I can do is just say it's gross out humor. And if, yeah, I gave John, my example.
John Crisfalusi would probably love this. I will say that the Andre the Giant thing was pretty
That funny. Was the funniest bit in there. They get this magic bean and of course they plant it. And then it turns into this giant bean sprout. They crawl up there. And of course there's the giant up in the clouds and they're like, Andre the Giant.
Inconceivable.
And then he gives them a magic goose to lay the golden eggs, and they're like, we know exactly what we're going to do with this. And you think that they're going to use it for money, and they don't, which is, and that's the funniest part. That is the funniest gag in this whole thing is Andre the Giant going, well, here's golden goose that lays the golden eggs. And it's like, we're going to make a fortune. And then they turn it into goose burgers, and it's just like, that's the best gag in the whole book.
And that's, I mean, that's an example of a gag that still grows, especially the laying the eggs bit.
Yeah.
But has a nice ending, and it has, you know, kind of a solid punchline.
Yes.
To it.
Yes, exactly.
And, you know, climbing up that whole bit with the climbing up the beanstalk and the meeting the giant, all of that works.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And it doesn't go too far, right?
Except for
when you see the goose laying the golden egg and there's poop on the golden egg.
Stop it.
Other than that graphic shot, because I'm trying to let the listeners know what they can expect. Besides that, it is a great sequence. It is the best sequence in this book. And I laughed and laughed and laughed on the final panel where it's these two guys selling goose burgers.
Yes, I have to admit that was pretty good. So, again, you know, that's kind of the thing. I don't necessarily have a problem with a negative review if I feel like a book deserves a negative review.
Yeah.
This is not a book that I'm going to tell you is terrible and I hate these people.
No, I don't hate the creator at all.
I think what it is this is a book that just doesn't...
You and I are not the target audience. That's what it boils down to. And unfortunately, you can have something that may meet all the qualifications for good story, good plot, good art. But if you don't hit the target audience, the people looking at it are going to say, well, here's the art. Here's what it reminds me of. Here's why I don't like it. And have a negative reaction to that book. And I think that's what's happened here.
I would agree.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Itty Bitty Bunnies in Christmas Pixie Land, whatever the heck the name of this book is.
Itty Bitty Bunny Batman Bunny.
You know, if it had Batman in it, it might be actually better.
No, it would. No, nothing. No,
honestly, they would kill Batman. If the gross out humor were toned down, this would have been an awesome book. If they hadn't exploded Santa Claus and then wore his bloody hat, if they wouldn't have exploded him and just said, he's dead, we have to save Christmas. That would have been a great setup. Great setup. Yeah. Then, hey, let's try this meth. That's a great setup. And then they try meth and then they trip out and then they have gross out scene where bugs are just
single Breaking Bad joke, except for the cover. Either.
Yeah. And so that was good setup. But then selling the drugs to the kids and the Care Bear, fight. And then the graphic detail of a horse digging in its own butt to pull out a magic bean. Totally inappropriate. Dial that stuff back. Leave the Andre the Giant gag in there. Take out the comment about firing the elves and hiring cheap Chinese labor. You know, the book would have been so much better. Just toning it down a little bit.
Yep.
Oh, well. But that's that. I mean, there you go. Next week.
Next week.
We have Offensive Comic number 32. We have racially motivated violence number 13. Oh, look, Matthew, Cross number 10. I wonder why we've never reviewed that book on this series, on this show.
Let's see. Dark Someday Horse. We're going to have to review Cross just to explain.
You have, haven't you? You've reviewed it on the site.
I have it major spoilers years ago.
Yeah.
Issue one, man. I may never come back.
So next week from Dark Horse Comics, we've got a BPRD, Hell on Earth, number 120. Oh, no, these are... Today is the 17th. These are the books for this week.
Oh, man.
These guys did not update their... Let's see, what are we looking at here? Oh, here we go. Yeah, they just didn't update part of it here. So coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, it's Aliens Fire and Stone number one. A lot of people are interested to see and read that book. That's the new Aliens series book. I think that's the one that is Chris Roberson. I know he's doing one of the Aliens or Alien versus Predator books that are coming up. There's Captain Midnight number 15, Conan the Avenger number 60, Gravity number 3, Ghost number 8, Gru versus Conan number 3, and... Sundowners number 2, Tomb Raider number 8. Is Gail Simone still doing that one?
Tomb Raider? Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Over at DC Comics, it is Adventures of Superman number 17 and a bunch of Futures End stuff. Aquaman and the Others. Well, maybe not. Oh, yeah. There's Booster Gold. I want to read that one.
Booster Gold?
Yeah, I want to read that. That's one I really want to pick up. And then also, you know, probably since, you know, Nerdtacular, I've had the pleasure of having conversations with... Oh, now I forgot his name. The artist for JLA 3000.
Howard Porter.
Howard Porter. And I did a panel with him at Nerdtacular. And then I was a guest host on, I think it's this week's Comics Coast to Coast where he was on. And I was a guest host with those guys. And we had a really great conversation. And now I see that in an upcoming JLA 3000, the original, I'd say original, Blue Beetle and Booster Gold that we know, the Bwahaha guys, right, are back in that issue. And again, because they're back in that issue, makes me feel like we're going to get the multiverse back and they're going to tell stories in the multiverse standard. Because according to what we've seen, JLA 3000 is not set in the new 52 Earth.
What?
Wrap your head around that while we look at some more Futures End titles coming out next week. Catwoman, Flash... Harley Quinn.
We may have to do that, Booster Gold.
Justice League Dark, Red Lanterns, Sinestro, Star Spangled War Stories featuring G.I. Zombie, Futures End. That's a heck of a long title. Star Spangled War Stories featuring G.I. Zombie, Futures End, number one. And then Superman Futures End. All of those are all number one books. There's another one that's coming out. Oh, the solicitations for DC Comics were released this week on Monday or Tuesday. I forget which day it was. Tuesday,
I think.
And oh my gosh, December, I'm going to be buying a lot of variant covers in December because Darwin Cook is covering, I want to say like 20 DC Comics.
Yeah, I want to say it's 17 or 20 or something like
that. Oh my God. Those covers are gorgeous. I love Darwin Cook's art to begin with. Right. And then to see that he's doing his style for all of those books, I'm going to be picking them up. So I'm looking forward to those in December. And listeners, you can go over to majorspoilers.com and see those covers right now. Just look for the DC solicitations for December 2014. Going to be good. Oh, and your orders are due this week. Friday.
Yeah, they are.
Get them in. Get them in.
Or we will kill you.
Well, I won't. You just won't get your comic books. You'll
well,
have to,
then we you'll, will.
You'll go down to the store and your comic book store, and the whole rack will be empty except for Itty Bitty Bunnies and Candy Rainbow Land. And you'll have to buy that one.
You have an interesting definition of have to.
I don't know. I have this thing that if I go into a store, I feel kind of bad wandering around for a half hour not buying something.
Oh, man.
I just feel bad.
Widget and I used to go to Walmart and just hang out.
Yeah. I mean, it's rare. I just feel bad. I feel guilty. I feel like people are looking at me weird when I leave the store not without anything.
Well, they are, but it's not because you didn't shop. It's because you look like a Batman villain.
Probably. Well, it's also that I'm taking 40 cakes behind me. So
that's true. Yeah, they're like, where's Tweedledee?
Yeah, IDW Publishing. Yeah, he's in Topeka. IDW Publishing has Ghostbusters number 20 G.I. Joe 2014 number one. So this is a relaunch of the G.I. Joe.
Yes.
My Little Pony 2014 annual. Samurai Jack number 12. Star Trek City on the Edge of Forever number 4. Image Comics has Chew number 43. Chronicles of Hate gets a hardcover treatment.
Hate.
Low number 3. Outcast by Kirkman and Azaceta number 4.
Acevita.
Acevita. No, it's A-Z-A-C-E-T-A. There's no V in there.
Okay.
Yeah. Sex number 16 comes out next week.
And Sex Before 18, you know, you want to be really, really careful.
So. I'm surprised they have not made that joke yet.
I'm sure they will. They've got two issues.
Oh, I bet Sex number 18 will be It's Legal Now or something.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah. Marvel Comics has All New Ghost Rider number 7, All New Invaders number 10, Amazing Spider-Man number 1.5.
Spider-Man's?
Amazing 1.5. X-Men. Hey, those 0.5s. You can't get rid of those.
Yeah.
You got. I can't wait until they do like an X, like an Amazing Spider-Man number
1.25. 1.735.
That would be funny if they did that. A 1.2, a 1.1. That'd be interesting.
Batman 98.6.
Yeah, there you go. Deadpool number 35. Guardians of the Galaxy number 19. Magneto number 10, M-Tax. I don't know. There's a bunch of M-Tax titles. What is that? Is that the... No, that's not Axis, because that's Avengers versus X-Men Axis or whatever it is.
I think it may be lead up to Axis.
Maybe. That's weird. Rocket Raccoon gets a third printing, so if you didn't get that, it's got a Scotty Young variant. Savage Wolverine number 23, Storm number 3, and Thunderbolts number 31. Have you been reading Death of the Wolverine?
I read issue one of Death of the Wolverine, and it brought back a character who had been murdered a couple of months earlier with literally no explanation. And I'm
Charles Xavier?
No. Nuke.
Oh.
You remember Nuke from Daredevil with the flag on his face?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought he was a Captain America villain.
Well, when they wrapped Wolverine back into the Super Soldier program, Weapon X is actually Weapon 10.
Ah.
Nuke was like Weapon
1.5.
Well, he was in there. Captain America was Weapon 1.
Yeah. Nuke would be 1.5. And then Nick Fury was number 2.
Nick Fury was not part of the program.
Didn't they do that, though? Didn't they try to explain that Nick Fury, that's why he's lived so long, that
the
he
Infinity
was part
of...
Yeah. Oh, the Infinity Formula. Okay.
You're thinking of Ultimate Marvel, where everything comes from.
Well, Captain. Ultimate Marvel, Nick Fury is in the current 616.
Don't do it. First of all,
Archie's
Ultimate Nick Fury is a different character.
I know.
Than Nick Fury.
I know. And that I don't know. I just think that opens up all sorts of problems.
Whose name in Japan is Gyro Robo?
Bart Simpson Comics number 92 out next week.
M-Tax is the March to Axis.
Ah, March to Axis. Okay.
Yeah.
That's just, March to Axis. That's probably not something you want to put in the title of your book. Well, I guess it does feature a Nazi.
It does. And it's basically, I think that's the whole.
But isn't Charles Xavier inside the Red Skull's thing in this whole thing?
Well, the Red Skull stole Charles Xavier's brain.
Yeah. So that's,
and grafted it to his own head.
Yeah, okay. So there you go.
How he's become the Red Skull slot.
Yes. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't. Okay, whatever. Bee and Puppycat number 4. Bloody Gross graphic novel volume 4. Matthew, I've got a great idea. Why don't we read Bloody Cross graphic novel? There could be nothing wrong with that. Bob's Burgers number 2.
Don't you call my bluff, mister. I've read more crap comics than most people have had hot meals.
Butterfly number 1. Cat Dad King of the Goblins graphic novel.
Butterfly in the Sky.
Damsels in Excess number 3. Dr. Amazing. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a bunch of Dynamic Forces sign stuff. They've got a bunch of those. Doctor Who, Engines of War soft cover. Empty Man number 4, Evil Empire number 5, Femme Force number 168. Glad that comic's been lasting for like 600 years.
Yeah, but the best part is, 168. I think the last episode or issue that I read was like 150, and that was 7 years ago.
Yeah. Goosebumps, graphic soft cover, Creepy Creatures, new printing.
Goosebumps?
I bought my son tonight the very, not the very first, his very first Goosebumps book. Oh, wow. And it's the one about the dummy, Night of the Living Dummy.
Whoa, no. No. He's, no.
I told him, I said, hey, I got your book. It's going to scare you. And he's like, and his first reaction was, ooh, dad, some of the other kids in class are already reading these Goosebumps books. And I was like, all right, but you're going to be scared. And he said, no, it's not going to be that scary. And then later on, he's like, dad, what do you think the dummy is? He says, is it like a dumb thing or is it like a dumb person? And I said, you're going to have to read the book. So Night of the Dummy is what
when
he
the
is going to.
When the child comes screaming up the stairs.
Are they that scary? Oh, I always thought that they were like, cheesy, scary stuff.
The Goosebumps TV show was on when I was in my 20s, and I would not watch it with the lights off.
Really?
Yeah.
I just thought it was just like kids scare jump humor.
And I, horror. You know, I watch Paranormal Activity with the lights off, so.
We will see what he thinks of Goosebumps. Maybe we'll get him on the show to talk about it.
Butterfly in the sky.
Knights of the Dinner Table, number 213. Letter 44, Lumberjanes, number 6.
We haven't read a Lumberjanes.
I read the first one, and I reviewed it on Major Spoilers Podcast. I'd be up for some Lumberjanes if no one else has claimed it.
We just claimed it.
All right. Lumberjanes, number 6 is the book.
Number 6.
Princess Ugg, number 4. That's another, I like that series as well.
Is that from Action Lab as well?
That is from, I want to say, Boom or Dynamite. Let me look really quick.
I could have sworn Princess Ugg was from Action Lab or something.
No, Oni Press. Oni Press is who it is. Yeah. And it's a good. I mean, it's good. It's a take on, it's basically what happens when a Red Sonja type, as a child, is forced to go to prep school because she is technically a princess, but she's a barbarian. And of course she goes to school and she has all sorts of problems and she is rooming with the ultimate princess and hilarity ensues. Speaking of Red Sonja, there's Red Sonja number 12, Red Sonja Black Tower number 1. So there's a couple of Red Sonjas coming out next week.
Red Sonja Black Tower. I think that was an album by King Crimson back in 1972.
Six the Gun, number 43.
Ooh. I reviewed a Six Gun spinoff this week.
That's a good... I mean, I really like Six the Gun. It was good. The one you read is what? Is the...
Days of the Dead. It's the prequel series.
Yes, exactly.
Featuring, I think, the parents.
The parents, or does it feature the... the old man that dies in the very first issue of Six Gun with the general and everything.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay.
But it was definitely interesting.
Yeah. Town Called Dragon, number 1. I have no idea what that's about.
I think it's about a town, right?
Well, I bet it's about this town and they're worried that people are going to find out that they killed Santa Claus and exploded his body.
Right.
And so they changed the name of the town to Dragon.
To Smarg, actually.
So that it keeps people away. It's a limited miniseries from Smarg. Legendary Comics. Legendary Comics transports you to a town called Dragon. On the surface, it seems like your average all-American tourist trap, but this snow-covered town hides a burning secret. After centuries lying beneath the depths of an icy mountain, the world's last dragon egg finally hatches, endangering modern life as we know it. Now an unlikely group of dangerously unqualified ordinary citizens must band together, battling the elements and each other, to slay this menacing creature. A town called Dragon. Remember Evening Shade?
Yes.
In a town called Dragon. Uber Special number 1, Experimental, Mature Readers.
I was Uber Special.
No.
Yeah, they put me in an Uber Special class.
World War Blue, graphic novel, volume 7. And,
what?
Yeah. and Exo Man of War number 29, and Zombies on Film, Definitive Story of Undead Cinema Hardcover. That's a $40 book. Or you can read Triple X-aholic Omnibus Train Paperback Volume 3. I read one or two of those back in the single issue days. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
It's a, at least the issues that I read were basically it takes place on a porn set when the zombie apocalypse breaks out. And now they have to survive.
Triple X zombies.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But it's not like nudity and sex stuff. It's just kind of. Yeah, maybe. So what else is going on? I think that's it. We're going to be looking at Lumberjanes number 6, which will be a complete 180.
Yes.
From this week, I think. Well, maybe we will both hate it. I don't know. We could still both not like the book. But I, I guarantee you that these girls on their camping expedition are not going to sell meth and dig magic beans out of donkey's butts.
Oh, I don't know, man. You say that now.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I agree with you. But that's not the point.
Yep, see? Right there, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to cut that out and make it my new ringtone. Every time Matthew calls, I agree with you.
That's not the point. You always cut out the relevant information.
No, I cut out everything that is not important to what I'm trying to prove.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's my new ringtone.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for downloading. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sponsoring the Major Spoilers podcast and everything that we do. If you want to help us out, there are a couple of ways. You can go over to majorspoilers.com. You can click on that Amazon.com button and you can buy away. I don't know if they have itty bitty bunny things over there at Amazon. Maybe I'll look here.
Itty bitty bunny things, Judah.
Itty bitty bunny bunnies.
Bunny, 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 bunny.
No, they do not. Oh, they do. Itty bitty buddies. They have this first issue. They have this first issue, $3.99. Over there at Amazon. So you buy this book, a little bit comes back our way, and then I feel bad that you bought the book. Well, maybe again, maybe you like it. Itty Bitty Bunny's Rainbow Pixie Land Xmas Phantom Variant. There's a Phantom Variant.
With the Phantom?
It's got them on the cover, and it looks like they are a breakfast cereal.
Uh-huh.
And instead of cereal in the bowl, it looks like drugs.
Oh,
it's probably a bad example to be using when I'm trying to ask you to go over to Amazon and buy stuff. You know, Disney Infinity 2 comes out next week. Maybe that's what you want to pre-order. Anything you buy through that link, anything that you buy at Amazon through that link at majorspoilers.com, a little bit comes back our way. If you really want to help us out, you'll become a Major Spoilers VIP, a bronze, silver, or gold member. You get access to some bonus content and, every month, you help us go a little further. I think it's a better deal than what Patreon has set up. And if you want to support us, great. If you're already supporting us, super thank you. Go over there and check out this month's bonus tracks where we sit down and we provide commentary to Return of the Jedi.
Jedi.
And we do talk about those creepy Ewoks in depth.
Return of the Jedi Clampett.
Yes, I saw that today on your Facebook.
That cracked me up.
I'm sure you did.
It was funny.
It was humorous. It was humorous.
Real doggies.
Yep. All right, everybody. That wraps it up. Thank you so much, and we will see you next week. So read some comics and have some fun. Be kind to one another. Party on, dudes. Don't do math.
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.